Philippians chapter 1 this morning, and I want to read the text, and I'll get to it at some point in this message today. Philippians, the first chapter, verse number 12, is what we're going to read today. We're going to call this the return of joy, the return of joy. Philippians 1 and 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The return of joy. I've noticed it. I'm pretty observant. And I've noticed it not only among our church folks, but among a lot of people. Over these last few months, there's been a thief that's come in. There's been a thief that has come in. Have you ever had, Brother Maynard, anybody come in and steal your stuff? It's a bad feeling. It's a bad feeling. Some of you all have had that happen to you, and it's a terrible feeling whenever a thief comes. But I want you to know that a thief has come and has robbed a lot of Christian folks. A thief has come and robbed the church of its joy and has replaced it with fear, worry, doubt and anxiety, replaced it with unbelief, replaced it with discouragement, replaced it with hopelessness. And so this morning, I just want us to serve notice on the enemy, the thief, that we want to see joy returned to our lives and the joy of the Lord returned. No wonder that people are struggling and they are weak in spirit and even weak physically. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and you're struggling and lacking because you just need joy back. You need the joy of the Lord back. Columbia University did a survey recently and found that Americans are 15th on the list of people that are happy in the world. Now, why would that be? I mean, we're the most prosperous, the richest nation in the world. Why would it be so far down the list of people that are happy? Well, I think for the most part, it's because we need to be reminded of the fact that our lives don't consist in the things that we possess. Not the things that you have. Your life doesn't consist in the abundance of things that we possess. It's not the things of this world. Joy comes from a different source. It comes from a different source. Amen. Happiness, really, it's just, it's dependent on the circumstances. If you're going through something that's tough or hard, you're going through a trial, you're going through a burden, you're going through something, then your happiness is just gone. It's zapped. But if you have joy, joy that comes from the Lord, it comes from a much deeper source. And it is not affected by circumstances. It flows from a very deep conviction that you have that God, you belong to the Lord, and that He's working in your life, and that no matter what happens, it's all going to work out for your good and for His glory. And so because of that, no matter what you face, no matter what the circumstances are, you can just go through it with joy, with a smile, with an assurance that God is at work, and the joy of the Lord revives you and strengthens you and helps you through the worst of trying times. There may be some of you today that are going through a time that is a test, a difficult time, and you're struggling with some problems or maybe physical situations that you may be up against. I want you to know that God can help you today. Right here today in this very service, and joy can come back. Amen. Joy can return to your life and to your life situation. The term joy is in the scriptures, mentioned in the scripture more than 150 times. It pretty much means the same thing in the Old Testament as it does in the New Testament. It's just glee. It's just this wonderful feeling of, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God loves me. I'm blessed, and I can enjoy the favor of God in my life. Now, if you've lost it, if a thief has come in and stolen away your joy, you can get it back. You can get it back. Amen. You can get it back today. Your joy can be restored. Remember the example of David, who had failed miserably, sinned against God, and brought a reproach upon the kingdom, and really it looked like it was over for David. But he prayed that wonderful prayer of repentance in Psalm 51. A part of that prayer was, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I want to recover what I've lost. That's what he was saying. I want to recover what I've lost through my sin and my failure and my decisions that have led me away from the will of God and the purpose of God. I want to see it restored. You can get back to the joy of the Lord. Whatever has taken that away, if it's been 8 or 10 months of lockdown, or if it's been worry and fear and doubt, if the enemy snuck into your life, into your heart, and your spirit, and he's robbed you of the joy of your salvation, then you need to do like the psalmist David did, and you need to ask God. It's a prayer. Lord, would you restore my joy? Would you bring it back to me? I need the joy of the Lord in my life once again. I want the joy of my salvation. Some of you are like me. You've been saved for a long time. I mean, for me, it's over 50 years now since I got saved as a kid. And so that's a long, long time. But I still have a great memory of what the Lord did for me back then. I have a great experience that I had as a young person, about maybe 14 or 15 years old, when I repented of my sins. When I received the Lord into my life, there was a difference in me. There was a whole new attitude, a whole new expression, a whole new sense of purpose in my life that the Lord gave to me, the joy of the Lord and the joy of your salvation. So you need to rewind and go back to what it was like, if it was 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, and remember what God did for you back all that long ago, and ask him, Lord, would you just do that again and make it fresh and real and up to date in my personal life? I want the joy of my salvation restored in my life, and ask the Lord to do it, and he will. He will. The word restore there comes from a Hebrew word that means go back. Amen. But I don't believe we should, back up. I just mean we should, but it's a wise thing to reflect and to remember great things that God has done for you, and how that he saved you, and he's blessed your life, and has provided for you. The word just means go back. And then the latter part of that verse where he said, uphold me. The word literally means to prop up, to prop me up. And so David was saying, I want to go back and remember what you did for me. And Lord, I can't help myself in this situation. So would you just prop me up in the middle of this and help me, because I need your strength and I need you to restore something in my life. Restore the joy of my salvation. I've been around the church all of my life. So I've watched people pray in an altar, repent and get saved, stand up, and it's like a light is turned on. It's like their countenance has changed and their heart is changed. And but then I've also witnessed people be around the church for a lot of years. And they come in with kind of a blank look on their face. You can tell people they're beaten down, they're discouraged, they're barely in the service and distracted. And the joy is just gone. It's just gone. I've gone through it, but I have to tell you that the Lord can restore your joy and can help you today to understand that He's at work in your life. So that's one of the ways that that's how you start in restoring your joy, is you need to pray and ask Him to restore the joy of your first experience with the Lord. Restore the joy of your salvation. And then secondly, I want you to remember that the joy of the Lord is found in the presence of God. Any wonder why that we've had problems after shutdowns and people not being able to be in the church services? I understand that you can get in the presence of God in your home or your car or wherever you might be, and that's a wonderful thing, and we should do that. But it doesn't really compare to coming to this sanctuary and to being with the people of God and worshiping together. There's just something wonderful about the presence of God in this place. It's a sanctuary unto the Lord. Any wonder that we are struggling with this joy of the Lord, that it can be restored today. The joy of the Lord can be restored, and the joy is found in the presence of God. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, which just means you can show me the way out or the way back. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know, the psalmist David, he, at another place, he was struggling with the fact that he saw all of his enemies prospering. Everything seemed to be going really well for them and not so much for him. And his spirit was depressed and he was down and he was really going through it. Then he said, but then I went into the sanctuary. I went into the sanctuary, and all these things that were happening to me, it's too painful for me, but I went into the sanctuary, and there I understood their end. I understood, and I believe that it's in the sanctuary that we can get a right perspective on our life, and we can understand what God is doing and how He's working in our life, and joy can be restored in the presence of God. And that's what I've been praying for today, that for some of us here in this place, you've really been struggling with this and you've just lost the joy of the Lord. Ask Him today to restore your joy, and then get in the presence of God. Enter into His presence and let the Lord help you in this place today. The joy of the Lord comes from a right focus. It comes from focusing on good things, the Word of God, and upon prayer, seeking after the Lord, the right focus. I've spent the last several months encouraging you to turn it all off. I mean, all of that baloney that's coming through the airwaves, all of that negativity that's pouring through all these different news outlets. Turn it off. Turn your attention to the Lord. Turn your attention to the things of God. The other day, a few days ago, I woke up in the middle of the night, as I often do, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't go back to sleep. So I just listened to sermons. I listened to 2 sermons in the middle of the night. And it's like I was restored. I was blessed. And I was encouraged by the word of the Lord, even in the middle of the night. Something about the presence of God and a right focus. Get your focus on the things of God. Get your eyes off of what's going on in the world. Amen. This world's in a mess. This world is wrapped up in so much wickedness and evil. And you can't let that be your thought life, your meditation. It can't be. If it is, your joy is gone. You're struggling with joy. Instead, you can focus on the things of the Lord. Thy testimonies, Psalm 119:111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. That's what the psalmist said. I've taken your word, your testimonies. They're my inheritance. that you've blessed me with, and they cause my heart to rejoice. Praise God. Amen. Focus on the Word of God. Focus on the privilege of prayer to call upon the name of the Lord in your present situation. Amen. And believe God. John 16, 24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. There's something wonderful when you hear the reports of answers to prayer. And when you've prayed and the Lord has come through for you, and the Lord has answered your prayer, oh, what joy, oh, what rejoicing that there is whenever you focus on the faithfulness of God, and you pray, and you look to God's word, and you see that God is faithful. Joy returns when you get a right focus. Amen. Amen. Joy returns, and it's produced by the work of the Holy Ghost in our life. Amen. How long has it been since you've experienced not only the joy of your salvation, but the wonderful fullness of the Spirit of God in your life? The experience of the Spirit in your life. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit and you receive love, joy. It's number two in the list. Love and joy. Amen. And peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. All these different fruit of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit in your life produces joy. Amen. So enter into worship. Enter into the things of the Spirit of God. And joy is produced by the working of the Holy Ghost in your life. So let God move in your life. Let Him speak to you. Let Him bless you. Enter into worship. Enter into the presence of the Lord and experience the joy that comes by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Romans 14 and 7, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not just the things, the physical things of this world, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That God comes and blesses you and joy returns. Joy returns. You know, whenever we have a service around here, when people are really praying around the altars and the Spirit of God is moving, there's just something uplifting about it. It's so encouraging. The joy of the Lord just comes into our hearts when we see God answering prayer and ministering to people and the working of the Spirit of God in our service and around the altars. Oh, it causes joy to come back. And everybody is smiling and shaking hands and hugging necks because we're enjoying the presence of God and the joy of the Lord returns. Hallelujah. Joy comes from the people of God. Now we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1 in verse 3. Now remember that Paul is writing to the church at Philippi from his imprisonment. This is one of those prison epistles. And he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Joy comes from the people of God. Joy comes from God's people. This week, you know, going through a little trying situation, and word travels fast. I got a call from Ohio from a friend, and then another message from someone in Ohio. Then another message from someone in South Carolina. Then another message from someone in North Carolina. Then another message from someone in Alaska. You know who that was. And Brother Martin. And then another message from folks in Missouri and folks in Oklahoma and different people. And I tell you, I just was so encouraged. Many of these people said, can I pray for you over the phone? Sure, pray. Prayed for me and encouraged me. With just a few words. And then many of you as well have spoken to us words of encouragement. Joy comes from the love of the people of God. God's people. God's people. We need one another. We desperately need one another. You may be going through a trial next week or next month, and you need the people of God to pray with you and to encourage you. And joy comes from that relationship, that fellowship with the people of God. And that's what Paul is talking about when he wrote the Philippians and told them how much joy he got from just communion and fellowshipping with them, the joy that came to his life. And then one more thing, and joy comes from the text we read. Joy comes from trusting God's plan. This is my last point. I actually had 10, and I've got through them pretty quick here, haven't I? Really, I'm doing good. Joy comes from trusting God's plan. Now remember where Paul is. He has been falsely accused. He was in prison for 2 years in Caesarea. Then he appealed to Rome, and they took him to Rome. In the middle of all that was a shipwreck, and finally he arrives in Rome, and as soon as he gets there, he's taken into custody, he's put in chains, and he is in a chain, always chained up to one of the Roman guards. This was like the Secret Service that guards the White House. This was like the Secret Service that guarded Caesar's palace. And so he's locked up. He's in chains with them. And he says, I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He said, they thought they were going to hold me in prison and that they were going to chain me to a guard. But I want you to know that God's turned it around. And really what's happened is the guard was chained to me. Amen. And so the guard was chained to me. And he was changed. Those guards were changed out every 6 hours, that Praetorian guard. They were rotated every 6 hours. And so every 6 hours he had a different guard who had to listen to Paul pray, who had to listen to Paul preach, who had to listen to his ministry, because they were allowed to have other visitors that came into him. And he was sending out letters, and he was ministering to people as they came to visit him. And one commentator that I read said that chain was no longer than 18 inches. That's not very long. The guard couldn't get away. He couldn't get away. You ever tried to witness to someone and they're like backing up from you? I got to get away from this. Backing up. The guard couldn't back up in this situation. He was chained to Paul, and Paul said, the things that have happened to me really have turned around for the furtherance of the gospel. God has used this to further the gospel so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. Everybody in the palace knows. I don't know, but what maybe other Christians in Rome and in that region had prayed, maybe for a long time, God, send the gospel into that palace. Like we've prayed, Lord, send the gospel into the halls of Congress and send the gospel into the White House. Send the power of the gospel into those places that are locked down and there's not much of a Christian witness that is there. There may have been Christians praying, God, send somebody into that palace. And God sent the Apostle Paul into that place. Amen. He put him there. He said, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. Everybody's hearing about the gospel, that it's being spread. God's using my trouble, my problem, this adversity to do something. Paul got a lot of joy out of this because he saw God in his adverse circumstance. He received joy from seeing the Lord work in his trouble, in his victory to come out of his troubles. Do you understand that God knows what he's doing? You're a child of God. You belong to the Lord. And if you're going through a trying time and you're really up against it, do you understand that God knows how to take your worst trial, turn it around for the furtherance of the gospel? He can use your trouble and do big things for the kingdom of God. Amen. You understand that God's at work even in your trial. I felt like at the beginning of the year, the Lord impressed me. Press forward, reach people, reach out to people. There's not a lot of time left. We need to be busy. So this week, as I was faced with this situation, trying to make the right decision, I was like, Lord, this can't be right. This is not right. This is not what you don't want me shut down for 2 months. That can't be your will. You spoke to me to go forward, to move forward. And I understand that God is at work. God is at work in your trial and in my trial. And if we can trust him, there's great joy when we see God work in the middle of our problem. Amen. Just as he did for the Apostle Paul. What happened in that palace? He said, many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That not only was he speaking the word of God, but others who might have been a little shy and a little bit intimidated by what was going on in Rome, and instead of being fearful because of Paul's imprisonment, they saw God using him in the middle of all that. It encouraged them. They got confident, more bold to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the church advanced. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know that all through the book of Philippians, 14 times the word joy or rejoice is mentioned. That's basically the whole theme of the book of Philippians, is the joy of God's working in our lives. The joy. In Philippians 4 and 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's a double emphasis. Rejoice. I said rejoice. I said rejoice. Why? Because God is at work. And he's doing some amazing things that you could have never, ever believed he could do in the middle of your situation. Philippians 4 and 22, here's what happened. As he's closing out the letter to the church at Philippi, he says, and all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Amen. Amen. He said, well, I'm going to sign the letter off, and everybody salute you, and especially those who've got saved in Caesar's household. They greet you. Praise God. So God was moving and God was working in impossible situations. The joy of the Lord comes from trusting God's plan. He knows what he's doing. Amen. Trust the Lord in your trouble, in your sickness, in your worries, and all that you're going through. Trust the Lord and let God fill your heart with joy as you see his plan unfold. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray this morning that joy would return. That joy would return to the hearts of people in this place today. And Lord, they would start by asking you, Lord, at this prayer time, asking you for joy. Lord, would you renew our joy? Would you restore the joy of our salvation? Lord, take us back to that early experience and all that you did when we were a new Christian. The joy of that experience. Take us back to that. Renew it. Restore us, Lord, to that. I just pray, Lord, for everyone in this building today that they have been stolen from. The enemy has come into their life. He's stolen their joy. He's replaced it with worry and doubt and fear and confusion and all these different things. But Lord, I just ask today that you would do a work of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and cause joy to come back. Cause joy to return to the hearts and the lives of people, Lord. Lord, in this Pentecostal church, Lord, that joy would come back. Lord, that we would rejoice in your presence, that we would rejoice in the goodness of God. And Lord, I ask that you would work today in this service. And we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise God.